to the grinning.
Who knew that Bob Dylan had a song about lying liars as well? So welcome back to The Cabin. This is the Up North Podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Kirk Bangsted and Sarah Yacoub. And yeah, lying liars is our theme this week. We talked to Mark Pocan just a minute ago about the fraudulent electors. And now we're going to take it to the legislative level and the folks who, again, continue to tell outright lies about what's happening with the integrity of our elections and, you know, the security of their vote. So our next guest is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, and he needs friends after working hours because his days are filled dealing with an unending supply of attacks on voters' rights, election integrity, and, you know, well, basically the truth, Sarah.
State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire area serves on the Senate Elections Committee. Nice to have you here. Welcome.
I'm so pleased to be here with old friends and able to talk the truth.
I have, I haven't been inside the Capitol for a long time. Continue to work in there. And when we serve together, you know, one of the things that grounded all of us, most of us, was the ability to treat one another with some civility and some personality. And I got to tell you, Jeff, listening to some of the assembly floor debate yesterday, we always knew there was a difference between the Senate and the assembly simply because the one is so much bigger and there's so much more opportunity for colorful personalities to get in there. But Jeff, I got to imagine it is just not as collegial a place, that this isn't just playing up for the cameras. This is a hard place to be these days.
And Pat, I think it's okay in this venue to say that Pat and I, we made sure that we were visiting places after hours around the square and finding people that we were able to communicate with from the other side of the aisle. You could not get away from it if you went around the square and went to the restaurants and taverns and got into those conversations. And what why I've even more recently thought about this, Pat, it's funny you'd bring this up, because I realize now how important that really was. There is no respect because you don't have to get to know someone at that level of humanity that we used to be able to do when you and I served together.
Well, I think a big part of that was that we were, again, these were the old district lines, and so there were many more swing districts. And so it was a good thing to show the voters back home that you were willing to work across the aisle, because you never knew if control was going to switch and suddenly you were going to be in the minority party. And if you wanted to get something done, you'd better have a good relationship with the majority party. But ever since the gerrymandering, with so many Republicans secure in their seats, there isn't that need. But let me direct it to the Elections Committee itself, where, again, you're plenty busy and we could hit up a lot of issues. But to me, the overarching thing I want to ask you about first is the willingness of the folks running the Elections Committees and just the caucuses overall in both chambers to bring in an unending line, a clown car, it's been said already, of people who claim to be experts when we've got experts at the State Elections Commission that they're not working with. Tell folks more about that. What I will go ahead and say is a dog and pony show, but you actually have a front row seat to it.
Yeah, and it all started, almost a year ago with that first hearing where it was a joint hearing from both the Assembly and Senate, and we walked out. We as Democrats, of course, by the way, when we say we walked out, I was the only one there in person. The rest of my colleagues were virtual, but we demonstrated a walkout, saying it's ridiculous. It was a number of lies, and their guests that they invited as speakers, like you just mentioned, Pat, were not experts. They were conspiracy theorists on top of conspiracy theorists, and it's embarrassing. to be in a place like that and sitting in a place like that, listening to that over and over. So we have experienced some real craziness going on there.
Well, especially with each one carrying a brand new pillow. That's you know, you don't, who thought a pillow salesman would have such sway these days, Kirk?
So, Pat, you jumped right into this, and I don't think some of our listeners know exactly what all of this means. We're talking about perpetuating the big lie that Trump won the election, perpetuating the falsehoods that Wisconsin's elections were rigged. And Jeff, you're part of what's this committee what are these hearings all about? Why are we having hearings right now?
So we have you know, committees in both houses. So this is Elections Committee. So in some cases, it's called Elections Reform Committee. But it is the committees where any legislation referring to how elections are run and how they should be handled. But most of the time before all this broke out and craziness, it was basically just to be sure that we were a part of the process and understood the process. But now I don't feel like the majority party wants to understand the process. They just want to hinder the process.
Okay. So this dog and pony show is happening, that they're bringing in people that have nothing to do with the election system or not experts. How does it make you feel as a senator in Wisconsin to know that you know your colleagues on the other side are like completely lying or are in the twilight zone or you know are saying the world is upside down when the world is right side up? I mean, how does it make you feel as a Wisconsinite and as an elected representative of the state?
Well, Kirk, it's even worse than that. As a citizen, as someone who has to leave behind for the next generations a democracy in shambles, it makes me despair sometimes. I'm pretty disgusted. And one of the reasons is because I truly believe that the majority party members who are either silent, so that they're enablers that way, or are actually marching out with the beat of the drum on this stuff and hitting it all the time. My concern is that they know it's wrong, but they think it won't do any harm. It's just going to win elections for them. It's just going to put them in a good place to keep their positions that they have. And that bothers me, that they don't think that this is damaging. This is very, very damaging to our elections and our democracy moving forward.
Senator, what do people do? I mean, we're sitting back, we're watching this. It's, you know, as we're all fighting off the sense of learned helplessness, you know, what advice do you have for people who see it, who understand it, and are just going mad trying to do something about it?
You can't feel helpless, Sarah. That's the thing. We cannot let people feel like they're helpless. There's a meme I just shared on Facebook that said, hey, if your vote didn't count so much, why would they be working so hard to suppress it? Because your vote does matter. Every vote, and we have to keep hammering that point home to everyone. Don't sit it out. It is so, if it hasn't demonstrated now how important your vote is, it never will. This is right down to the courts. Right, it is so important that people show up.
Jeff, that's very hopeful, and you are perhaps the most optimistic man that I've ever met, and I say that with only a small truckload of sarcasm. But you have these moments where you are definitely still glass half full on the values that make you know democracy work, no matter what part of the political spectrum you're from. And to that end, you received some nice national press about a week ago in Washington Monthly. And it was written by somebody who's been studying you know, one of the many species that are going extinct in our world with the climate changing. And in this case, it's the species of the rural Democrat as the political climate is changing. But you are one of those who stands out because you do something that is becoming, again, a rare commodity. You just go find a place to sit around and believe this. He listens. He just goes out and listens to people. Jeff, tell people what you do that is so novel in the year 2022.
I listen. I think you're right. That is novel. I know that everyone says they listen. And
I got the pickup truck to prove it, you know?
Yeah, but I honestly tell people, listening is not a natural thing to do. I had to learn to listen, and I'm still learning how to be a better listener. But when you force yourself out there like I do and invite anyone to stop and talk to me at my truck with the big sign that just says, stop and talk to your state senator, most people who talk are not people of my same political persuasion. You learn right away that it's best to just listen, and you learn a lot. And then you get a chance when an opening occurs to help them listen as well. And it's really been great. And by the way, that article was like a 2-year project that the author set out on and talked to a lot of legislators and had us on Zooms together. It was a great process. I'm just fortunate that he chose me to feature in that article.
So Jeff, obviously, you know, this podcast is all about trying to bring this news of the state through a progressive lens up north, up to where you represent, up to where I live, up to where Sarah lives. That's why we got three hosts from not Madison or Milwaukee here. I rack my brain daily trying to figure out how to change people's minds up north. Pat just said we're losing the rural Democrat. I rack my brains daily on saying, how do I convince these people to believe that Tom Tiffany is lying, that Ron Johnson's lying, that Rob Swearingen's lying about PFAS? You know, like, how do I convince people that these guys are not in it for the good of Wisconsin? They're in it for power and money. And I need some help. I don't know if I'm doing it the right way. I'm trying, but how do you convince people? You know,
geez, Kirk, I that is a really big good question. That's a big, big question. I think everyone finds a different way. And I can't preach and say that you all ought to get a truck and you ought to put a big sign on there and you ought to stand out there as a target, because that's what I become. I become a target. And if you looked at that article, this is an example. The article was ready to go, and I couldn't produce the high resolution pictures that they wanted to use for that article. So I was frustrated about it. They were going to send a photographer even from Washington. I said, no, you can't be sure I'm going to have a good conversation when that photographer is here. So I actually had to dig up somebody who I'd spoken to before. I want to be legitimate. So that picture, if you see that picture with that article, that is a gentleman who actually stopped to talk to me. And now has, this would have been the third time now, but the two legitimate times he stopped to talk to me, he's a Republican. He's voted Republican his whole life. And I figured he's the perfect example that I wanted to be sure was in that article, because he has been frustrated by the things that he cares about that aren't getting done. And he wanted to know why they're not getting done. And he understood as we had conversations, now we've had multiple conversations, and he's gone back to his Republican representatives that he has voted for. And he's come back to me and said, you know what, I'm done voting for them because they're not listening to me like you're listening to me. Mm-hmm. That's the big key. And he now understands that they have the power because they're in the majority, but we have to change that. And he understands that. And I'm hoping more and more people begin to understand that.
Well, and getting people past that talking point. I mean, Robin Voss sure knows how to deploy the talking points that sure sound good and they convince people. But then if you look under the hood, you see that you don't actually have a car engine in there and you don't have a functioning government. But I see reason to hope, you know, up in the 30th Assembly District, we've been trending blue. We've been solidly purple. And, you know, it looks like we're getting an influx of people who know what competent government is. And so where I come from, out in my SoCal days, Republican wasn't synonymous with dumb. It was just a different way of looking at things, but there was an expectation of competent government. Some of my favorite judges and prosecutors are actually Republicans. But it seems to take a different breed of politics out here. So, yeah, Senator, I see reason to hope that as we get more people who are going, wait a minute, you know, what happens when I push past that talking point? Are you really serving the people that will start to see some change?
And I think you just hit on something, sir. I got a quick say is that they're not dumb. And we can't talk to people like they're dumb. Just because they don't believe what they believe, maybe what we think are lies, they are lies, doesn't mean they're dumb.
Right.
They're misled. They're misinformed. They want to believe certain things because it feels like it fits their narrative. We have to be understanding is what we have to be.
Yeah. Well, and it's I can't think of a better example than you of somebody that that I certainly enjoy talking to. And we appreciate you being here to share some of the frustrations of being on the elections committee, but then also some of the signs of hope that are out there. Jeff Smith, thank you so much, Senator. Always nice to see you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment. You're up north.